In the 30th millennium, Terra lay in ruins, ravaged by war and suffering for over two millennia. During the harrowing period known as the Age of Strife, the once great cradle of humanity had been reduced to a desolate wasteland, its fractured landscape dominated by techno-barbarian warlords who fought bitterly over the scarce resources that remained. Amongst the rubble and decay, crazed techno-priests wandered the barren deserts, espousing the fragmented ramblings of ancient religions. It was during these dark times, in the midst of the unification wars, that the Emperor of Mankind would make his move to unite the fractured remnants of humanity under one banner, the Imperium. After countless generations of painstaking genetic manipulation, the Emperor had crafted a warrior gene unlike any before. Combining this genetic marvel with the most brutal and hardened techno-barbarians of Terra, the Emperor created the Thunder Warriors, the Imperium's first unstoppable hammer. From the ashes of Earth, the Thunder Warriors swept across the planet, conquering all who dared to stand in the way of the Emperor's manifest destiny to unite humanity. Over several decades, the Thunder Warriors fought, bled, and conquered. They united factions that fell under the iron heel of the Imperium and crushed those that refused to bend the knee. With Terra firmly under his control, the Emperor cast his gaze towards the stars. The galaxy lay before him, a vast canvas upon which he would paint his grand vision for humanity, a vision that demanded the creation of a new breed of warriors to carry out his will. The Thunder Warriors had served their purpose in unifying Terra, but they were flawed, unstable, and ultimately expendable. The great crusade that lay ahead required soldiers of a different caliber, disciplined, unwavering, and capable of conquering the galaxy in the name of the Imperium. In the secret depths of his gene laboratories, the Emperor, with the aid of genetic architects, poured his vast knowledge and psychic might into the creation of the Primarchs, 20 demigods destined to lead his armies. Each of these beings was a reflection of a facet of the Emperor's own psyche, imbued with his immense power and genius. They were to be the generals of the Great Crusade, the linchpins of the Emperor's plan to reunite humanity beneath the banner of the Imperium. But the insidious machinations of the Chaos Forces saw these plans disrupted. Using a method still unknown to this day, the nascent Primarchs were scattered to the far reaches of the galaxy, torn from the Emperor's grasp and cast like seeds upon the cosmic winds. The loss of his creation struck the Emperor deeply, but he would not let this setback derail his ambitions. He set about creating a new breed of warriors, crafted from the genetic material of the missing Primarchs. These warriors would be his Space Marines, the Adeptus Astartes. The Astartes would be far more potent than any ordinary human. The gene seed, the distilled essence of each Primarch's genetic material, would grant these warriors superhuman strength, resilience, and an unwavering loyalty to their creator. The Emperor would use these enhanced warriors to forge an unstoppable army, capable of reuniting humanity and claiming the galaxy in the name of the Imperium. The Emperor did not create these superhuman warriors in isolation. One society remained free from the iron grip of the Emperor's Great Crusade, the Adeptus Mechanicus, the Machine Cult of Mars. A technocratic organization that worships the machine god, they were allowed to practice their own religion and toil in secret within their sprawling laboratories on Mars. They played a crucial role in the creation of the Astartes, specifically in the development and production of their power armor, weapons, cybernetic implants and other technologies lost during the Age of Strife. During the Unification Wars, the Emperor of Mankind sought to ally with the Cult of Mars to gain their technological expertise and resources. This alliance was formalized in the Treaty of Mars, which recognized the cult as an independent entity within the newly formed Imperium of Man. In exchange for their autonomy over Mars and the right to continue their religious practices, the Emperor gained access to their vast technological knowledge and production capabilities. As the Emperor set forth on the Great Crusade to unite the planets of the galaxy under his rule, he sent his custodian guard, the elite warriors who served as his personal bodyguard, to scour the galaxy for the lost Primarchs. These Adeptus Custodes were carefully chosen as infants and bred into highly sophisticated warrior monks, augmented with genetic modification to enhance them into formidable warriors. Each time a Primarch was discovered, the Emperor would reclaim a piece of his shattered vision, and with it, he would make the Adeptus Legions whole as they were reunited with their Primarch. These legions, each bearing the unique genetics, traits, and qualities of its primary, would form the vanguard of the Great Crusade. They would conquer countless worlds, bringing them under the aegis of the Emperor's rule. They would face unimaginable horrors and overwhelming odds, but they would emerge triumphant, their banners planted firmly on the shattered remains of their foes. As the legions expanded and the crusade pressed on, the Emperor's dream of a united humanity seemed within reach. But even as his armies conquered world after world, the seeds of corruption took root in the dark corners of the galaxy. The Astartes, the mighty instruments of the Emperor's will, would soon face their greatest challenge, a battle that would determine the fate of the Imperium and the very future of humanity itself. In the bleak darkness of the 41st millennium, the tragic and enigmatic saga of the Astartes unveils them as both paragons of the Imperial truth, whilst paradoxically the harbingers of humanity's doom. They have carved a legacy intertwined with the very fate of the Imperium itself. Their lives, eternally bound to war and suffering, serve as a stark testament to the grim state of the galaxy. In the eyes of the desperate Imperial citizenry, even the prospect of such a nightmarish existence is considered a fantasy most dare not dream of. But beyond this lies a more disturbing truth. The Astartes are stained with the blood of original sin, a story as old as time, a saga that unfurls like a blood-soaked tapestry. The Astartes are simultaneously humanity's greatest strength, as well as their weakness. Their humanity binds them together, forging an unbreakable bond of brotherhood and loyalty amongst their ranks. Driven by a singular purpose to enact the Emperor's will, these warriors embody the epitome of human potential, crafted to be nothing less than perfect. Yet it is this same perfection that can lead them to become the greatest threat the Imperium has ever known. Their charisma, presence, and divine semblance evoke adoration and worship from the masses. When one of these demigods succumbs to the insidious lure of chaos, the consequences can be devastating. The Horus Heresy, a cataclysmic event that nearly tore the Imperium asunder, is a grim reminder of this peril. To safeguard against such a catastrophe, the Astartes are regarded with a mixture of awe and suspicion, for they are both humanity's salvation and the ticking time bomb that could bring about its end. To truly comprehend the nature of the Astartes, we must delve into the origins of their selection and transformation. In the dark days of the 30th millennium, the Emperor chose the most ruthless and savage techno-barbarians of Terra to forge into his indomitable warriors. To survive in the dystopian hellscape of Terra, a warrior had to be brutal, merciless, and relentless. The Emperor took these savage individuals and subjected them to an unimaginable ordeal, infusing them with genetic material and implanting organs that would reshape them into the warriors he needed to conquer Terra. These barbarians would be cut open from soul to crown, their very nerves unraveled and spliced with interlinks. The trauma and pain of this process were immeasurable, and many would not survive. Those who did were forever changed, emerging stronger and more fearsome than before. Pain and suffering were the currencies with which these individuals paid for the transformation that would elevate them to demigod status. The torturous process claimed many lives, but those who survived emerged as living embodiments of the Emperor's wrath, poised to conquer the stars in the name of the Imperium. Clad in the first iterations of power armor, these proto-Astartes bore the mark of the Emperor and began his reign. In the early days, uncertainty shrouded these warriors as they were hastily formed into legions, their numbers swelling from mere hundreds to hundreds of thousands. They spread across the galaxy like a tide of destruction, crushing foes, quelling rebellions, and serving as envoys of the Emperor's imperial truth. Each Astartes bears the indelible mark of their Primarch, their genetic lineage stretching back to the time of the 20 Great Legions. These warriors, shaped by the influence of their gene sire and the crucible of war, would forge their distinct identities through conquest and the adoption of unique cultural norms and rituals. As they spread across the galaxy, some founded homeworlds, while others embraced a nomadic existence aboard vast star fortresses. The process of choosing an aspirant, a potential Astartes, hinges on the brutal principle of survival. Recruitment worlds are selected for their savagery and unrelenting hardship, from the gang-infested depths of hive cities to feral planets where only the strongest endure. Unlike during the 30th millennium, aspirants are now chosen in their youth, ensuring the gene seed has the best chance of bonding with its host. These children, despite their tender years, have already witnessed horrors beyond comprehension. Each Legion's selection process may differ, but one thing remains constant. The aspirants' lives are worth little, with many facing death far before they are graced with the gene seed. The trials they must endure are designed to push them beyond their limits, both physically and mentally, breaking them down and rebuilding them as instruments of the Emperor's will. They face the unforgiving elements, their fellow aspirants, and even the Astartes themselves in brutal tests of combat and survival. Mortal wounds and maiming are common occurrences, yet the apothecaries, the Astartes medics, possess the skills to bring them back from the brink of death. When life is cheap, and victory is won at the slaughter of others, and the subsequent rise to superhuman status, a disturbing question lingers amongst the Imperium. Do these demigods retain any semblance of humanity or kinship to their fellow man? Do they view citizens of the Imperium as less than them? During these trials, aspirants face perhaps their greatest challenge, themselves. Through the use of potent drugs and psychic manipulations, they are forced to confront their innermost demons and fears. They must endure abject terror and internal turmoil, their worst nightmares brought to life repeatedly for them to conquer. Their very identity and sense of self will be obliterated and rebuilt anew. Many will not survive this trauma. Those whose minds shatter face two possible fates: to serve the Astartes by performing menial tasks, or worse, to be lobotomized and fused with machines, becoming servitors to be used and discarded by the Imperium. This breaking and reformation of the aspirants' minds is a critical step in the process, designed to create warriors impervious to the insidious influence of chaos. The Emperor foresaw this threat and took extreme measures to forge warriors capable of resisting the corrupting touch of darkness. And yet, as we will discover, chaos still finds a way to spread its malevolent tendrils among these mighty warriors. Those who survive the aspirant program but do not succeed in becoming Astartes may still return home as heroes. Mere survival in the program is considered a remarkable feat in the Imperium, and these individuals often assume roles of power and leadership in their communities. For those who endure the rituals and tests, a final, seemingly insurmountable challenge awaits. This ultimate trial differs between Astartes legions and later chapters, but the goal remains the same: to survive, and more importantly, to reveal the aspirant's true character in the face of the impossible. For it is only when a person confronts the insurmountable they reveal the true metal of their spirit. In the aftermath of the grueling selection process, the lucky few who survive are granted a brief respite to visit their home worlds. It is during this time that the propaganda machine of the Imperium goes into overdrive, spinning tales of heroism and painting the aspirants as the saviors of humanity. Statues are raised, songs are sung, and the Imperium's might is glorified for all to see. But this brief interlude is also the final test of the aspirant's character, a warning to others that any who break the law during this period will face the harshest of punishments: a lobotomy, their limbs ripped from their body, and conversion into servitors. This traumatic process is strictly governed, and the science is well understood. But it is jealously guarded by the cult of Mars, who have a monopoly in the creation of the Astartes. These religious zealots of the machine god whisper of tales that the splicing of organic material with technology allows the Astartes to speak to the machine spirit. For them, it is a deeply religious practice that they guard like priests. Deep within the fortress monasteries of the Astartes, neophytes become initiates and undergo military doctrine and Astartes training. In some legions and chapters, this process can take a full year. One full excruciating year of being cut open, their nerves unraveled and their bones drilled into. In this time, they undergo further psychological conditioning to eliminate any character flaws that may subject them to chaos, a force which preys upon an individual's vulnerabilities. And then, after all of this, they will finally rise as battle brothers, traumatized, broken, but remade into the Emperor's image. Some say they can live for thousands of years, but most will be cut down in battle within half a century. Their destiny is clear. Every waking moment, every breath they take is dedicated to battle. They will never see their loved ones again. Their new family are their brothers of battle. Their legion and chapter, with its rich history and laws, will serve as their identity, as well as their original sin. Each Primarch was a paragon of their particular aspect of warfare, their unique abilities and temperaments reflected in the warriors they led. The legions, molded by the gene seed of their respective Primarchs, were as varied in their tactics and philosophies as the stars themselves. Horus, the War Master, led the Sons of Horus, one of the oldest legions and the first to deploy off-world. They were known for their fierce loyalty and their willingness to do whatever it takes to achieve victory. They were feared by their enemies for their brutal tactics and their unrelenting determination. Ancient stories from Terra tell a theme of a planet marred in betrayal, corruption, and destruction. Tales of gods and fallen sons, of fractured alliances and jealousy, and most of all, fallen angels. The fall of Horus is one such tale, and perhaps the one to dwarf them all. He was an imposing figure, known for his piercing blue eyes, chiseled features, and regal bearing. A charismatic presence and strategic genius above all others. He was filled with promise, ambition, and passion. He was the Emperor's favored son, a position that would ultimately prove to be his undoing. In contrast, Ferus Manus the Gorgon was described as possessing a terrifying appearance. He commanded the Iron Hands, a legion that, much like their Primarch, embraced the fusion of flesh and machine, their warriors encased in armor forged from the living metal of their Primarch's own body. They were relentless and unyielding, driven by the belief that through discipline and self-mastery, they could achieve perfection in all things. This radical extreme ideology led to a fixated belief that ultimately would lead to their near extinction during their darkest hour. With the brutal killing of their Primarch during the Great Civil War, the Iron Hands would spiral into confusion to their father's ideology, and ultimately they would become fixated with the motto, "The flesh is weak." In the forges of their homeworld Medusa, the Iron Hands toiled ceaselessly, the fires of creation roaring around them like a living thing. Their bodies became a testament to their beliefs, flesh replaced by cold metal and machine, their eyes burning with an unnatural intensity. Many legions were shining examples of the paragon of the Imperium. The Blood Angels were not. Savage, brutal killing machines that were seemingly destined to share the fate of their ancestors, the Thunder Warriors. Their stories were one of glory and victory. The Ninth Legion were forged as the extension of the Emperor's sword. Deployed to planets doomed by chaos, they carved their way through planet after planet. Nothing remained in their wake. Cast out into the far-flung stars in battles of hell, their casualties were high, and their recruitment was vast. Whispers of a reckoning grew louder, but their fate was cast a different direction by the finding of their father, the Ninth Primarch, Sanguinius. Sanguinius was a mutant, born with angelic wings, matching his own beauty and majesty. Many stories within the Imperium can be seen as more metaphor than fact. However, his wings were as real as the flesh they were bound to. He was an angel, seemingly destined to be the Emperor's favored son. And yet, deep within Sanguinius lay an insecurity that festered, a dark rage he could not control. Was he an angel or a weapon of chaos in waiting? Sanguinius cared deeply for the citizens of the Imperium, fostering within his own legion a compassion for those they serve, and with it a change in their identity from violent psychopaths to warrior diplomats. And yet, within his legion he saw a mirror reflecting his own darkness he felt inside. On the battlefield, some experienced a savagery and loss of control, a deep rage he knew all too well. He would not give up on them, and he would protect their shared secret. And to any that questioned their actions, he would say, "They were angels yet, angels of blood." Sanguinius was greatly admired within the Imperium. He led the Blood Angels to countless victories, forged relationships within the Imperium, and curved their darkest demons. However deep within the core of the blood, the flaw within their gene seed. So named the Red Thirst and the Black Rage, these genetic flaws lead to furious frenzy and a psychotic break from reality. As they succumb to the Red Thirst, the Blood Angel becomes consumed by a rage and aggression matched by none. Their thirst for blood guides their actions as they throw themselves into unwinnable battles. The Black Rage is a ticking time bomb of psychotic frenzy, their minds propelled back to the battle between Horus and their father Sanguinius. A genetic trauma, in which the Blood Angel can no longer be said to exist in this reality. They become a living embodiment of Sanguinius, feeling his rage and betrayal. They cannot be brought back from the brink of sanity. Those that succumb join the Death Company. The mere utterance of this unit can cast terror into the enemy. Their extreme actions and unyielding bloodlust leave most of the company dead after an engagement. Those that survive these battles are executed by their chaplains. An act of mercy, for those that turn are no longer able to direct their wrath discriminately. These angels of blood can never escape their destiny, their blood-soaked genetic lineage, in which all who join are one day destined for madness. As the Emperor and his forces pressed forth into the void, they encountered a vast array of alien species, some of which had once been humanity's allies during the Age of Technology. Those days, however, had long since passed, and the Emperor now saw only threats to his grand design. To him, these alien civilizations represented a danger to the ascendancy of mankind, and they were to be annihilated or subjugated, their worlds brought under the yoke of imperial rule. Whatever the Emperor of Man had witnessed in the chaos of the warp had terrified him to his core, and with it, ignited a hatred for any race not human. This extreme xenophobia served as the bedrock for the Imperium of Mankind. No mercy would be shown, no alliances would be forged, all that remained in this time was war. The Astartes legions, their ranks swelling with each new world conquered, became the embodiment of the Emperor's wrath. They fought with unmatched ferocity and determination, their genetically enhanced forms and advanced war gear transforming them into unstoppable gods of war. But the Great Crusade was not without its costs. The vast distances of the galaxy and the sheer scale of the Imperium's ambitions took their toll on the Astartes legions. They were stretched thin, their lines of communication strained to the breaking point. The Emperor's dream of unity was becoming an increasingly fragile construct. It was within this crucible, where the darkness lurking beneath the surface revealed its insidious face. The Horus Heresy, the most heinous betrayal in the annals of humanity, was about to tear the galaxy apart. Horus, the esteemed warmaster and favored son of the Emperor, found himself ensnared by the sibilant whispers of the forces of chaos. Consumed by anger, betrayal, ambition, and hubris, he succumbed to the darkness, shattering the Imperium with the force of his treachery. The unthinkable had come to pass. A Primarch had turned against his father and his brethren, and the mighty Astartes legions would be torn in half. The sons of Horus, unwaveringly loyal to their corrupted master, plunged headlong into the abyss, dragging others with them. Half of the Primarchs and their legions, tempted by the seductive lies and promises of the Dark Powers, renounced their allegiance to the Emperor and embraced the path of rebellion. The legions, once united in purpose and brotherhood, found themselves embroiled in a vicious civil war. The ensuing battles were cataclysmic events, entire planets reduced to smoldering cinders as brother clashed with brother. their once shared purpose now a distant memory. The skies themselves burned with the fires of betrayal during the Siege of Terror, the apocalyptic climax of the Horus Heresy. The Emperor himself took to the battlefield, leading his loyal sons in a desperate defense of the Imperial Palace. The cost of victory would be incalculable, the toll in blood and sorrow beyond comprehension. The final battle took place on the chaos-infested space station known as the Vengeful Spirit. The Vengeful Spirit was the flagship of the traitor forces, and it was here that Horus had set up his command center and made his final stand against the loyalist forces. Seeing the mutilated, chaos-ridden face of his son and the broken body of Sanguinius by his feet brought the Emperor to his knees in despair. He was filled with inconsolable grief as to what befell his favored son. Now facing him, he could not deny the terrible truth. In a final act, he not only slayed Horus, but destroyed his very essence, using his remaining energy to obliterate his soul. This brutal, agonizing act was the only way he could guarantee it would not return to the warp, to become a plaything for the forces of chaos to meld into another weapon. In the end, the Emperor emerged triumphant, but at a terrible price. Horus was vanquished, but the Emperor himself was grievously wounded, his shattered form confined to the life-sustaining mechanisms of the Golden Throne, where it remains to this day. The Imperium had endured, but the dream of unity and progress that had once driven it forward now flickered dimly like a dying star. 9 Primarchs were lost during this time, and countless Astartes. The legions that had remained steadfast in their loyalty to the Emperor were forever altered by the unspeakable horrors they had borne witness to. The trust and camaraderie that had once bound them together were supplanted by suspicion and paranoia. They had gazed into the abyss within their own ranks, and the darkness they found there would haunt them for eternity. The embers of the Horus Heresy still smoldered, and the Imperium reeled, torn asunder by the betrayal that shook its very foundations. Amidst the rubble of shattered dreams, the survivors realized that a new path was essential to prevent such a treachery from happening again, ensuring the survival and stability of the Imperium in the grim darkness that lay ahead. In this time of uncertainty, Robuta Gilliman, Primarch of the Ultramarines, emerged as the beacon of hope and architect of a new vision. A master tactician and statesman, Gilliman sought to bring order to the chaos that engulfed the Imperium. His magnum opus, the Codex Astartes, would become the cornerstone upon which the future of the Astartes would be built. The Codex Astartes was more than a mere manual of war. It was an all-encompassing treatise on the organization, tactics, and philosophy of the Astartes. Designed to prevent the concentration of power that had enabled Horus to plunge the galaxy into darkness, the once vast and mighty legions, under the command of a single Primarch, were to be fragmented into smaller, more manageable units known as chapters. Each chapter would be autonomous, its warriors united by the gene seed of their Primarch and the teachings of the Codex Astartes. They would be responsible for their own recruitment, training, and equipment, ensuring that no single individual could ever again exert the same level of influence and control as Horus had. However, the Reformation was met with resistance. Some viewed the breaking up of the legions as an act of betrayal, a dilution of the bonds that had once united them as brothers. Others feared that the new order would leave them vulnerable to the myriad threats that still faced the Imperium, with their once mighty forces now scattered and diminished. Yet with time, the wisdom of Gilliman's vision became apparent. The new chapters, although smaller and more specialized than their legion predecessors, proved to be more versatile and adaptable, better suited to the ever-changing nature of warfare in the 41st millennium. The Codex Astartes, though not followed to the letter by every chapter, became the cornerstone of the Astartes' identity, a source of pride and tradition that guided them through their darkest hours. In the eons that followed the cataclysmic Horus Heresy, Space Marine chapters would diverge, each crafting its own identity from the flames of war and the darkness that encroached. The Ultramarines, proud inheritors of Gilliman's legacy, embodied the very essence of the Codex Astartes. Unyielding in their adherence, Their discipline and tactical prowess knew no equal. They were the paragons of what it meant to be a space marine, their honor and valor a shining beacon to their brethren. Shrouded in secrecy and enigma, the Dark Angels walked a path of shadows. Tormented by their past transgressions, they waged a solitary crusade against the Fallen, their traitorous kin who had turned against the Emperor during the dark days of the Horus Heresy. To the Dark Angels, redemption could only be achieved by hunting these lost brothers, their loyalty to the Imperium tempered by an all-consuming obsession with atonement in a bid to outrun their original sin. In stark contrast stood the Space Wolves, wild and untamed warriors who embraced the primal spirit of their homeworld, Fenris. Disregarding the strictures of the Codex Astartes, they carved their own path, guided by the sagacity of their Primarch, Leman Russ. Their ferocity in battle was the stuff of legends, their loyalty to their brothers unshakable. These were but a few of the myriad chapters that had risen from the ashes of the Horus Heresy, each a unique testament to the indomitable spirit of the Adeptus Astartes. Though their paths diverged, they were united in their unwavering devotion to the Emperor and the cause of humanity. The stories of this period are nothing less than epic in scale, a sprawling saga encompassing many of the factions, cultures, chapters and characters only paid the smallest of tributes to within these passages. They shall be woven into the tapestry of this story at a later time. For now, the Lunar Wolves shall serve as a metaphor for the eternal damnation and tragedy of the Astartes. In the cold, unfeeling expanse of the 30th millennium, the Emperor gazed into the depths of the future and saw a time when the gene seed that made his warriors great would become destabilized and mutated. It was a danger that threatened to consume his legions, and with it, his vision of a united Imperium. And so he embarked on his first off-world conquest, one that would lay the foundations for the reputations and distinctions of the legions to come. The Emperor's wrath fell upon Luna, home to the Selenar, a cult of genesmiths who had survived the horrors of the Age of Strife and dedicated themselves to the genetic advancement of humanity. Utilizing long-forgotten science from the Age of Technology, they sought to create the perfect human being, and with it, a golden path for all of mankind. But the Emperor knew their heretical work threatened his singular vision for a united mankind, and offered them a diplomatic way forward, a chance to comply with his will. They refused, seeing the Emperor's grandiose visions as a mere echo of the past. It was their greatest error which would seal their fate as perpetual slaves. Yet these victories will soon become bittersweet. In a tragic tale of foreshadowing, the very legion that had once been the Emperor's salvation became the harbinger of his downfall. As the Horus Heresy unfolded, the Lunar Wolves, now known as the Sons of Horus, found themselves at the center of a struggle for the very soul of the Imperium. And their Primarch, Horus, the Emperor's favored son, would lead them to their ultimate doom. To be continued.